We are on the record.
Good afternoon. We are on the record. My name is Marisha Childs. My pronouns are she, her. I'm the hearings officer for this matter. We are here today, Monday, June 16, 2025. The time is 2 p.m. We are here today on a tow appeal hearing, cause number 1250109. And I see, it looks like the appellant is just now logging on, connecting to audio. I see a square that says Tim Seabrook. Tim Seabrook, can you unmute yourself for the record? Hi, and identify yourself, state, and spell first and last name, and your pronouns, please.
My name is Timothy Seabrook, T-I-M-O-T-H-Y, S-E-A-B-R-O-O-K, and pronouns are him and her, or him, sorry. His.
He and him, got it, thank
got
you.
It. Yep.
All right, and I also see an iPhone. If the person that's on the iPhone, if you can identify yourself for the record, state and spell your first and last name, your pronouns, and the bureau you're with, please.
This is Officer Shelley Knezevich, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-N-E-Z-E-V-I-C-H, pronouns her, she. And I'm employed by the City of Portland Parking Enforcement Office and Abandoned Auto.
Okay, great. Thank you. So again, we're here on a tow appeal hearing. The appellant requested the vehicle was towed June 3rd, 2025. We're on Zoom, and although I can see faces and squares, if your cameras are on, cameras don't need to be on. Although I appreciate when I can see, but it's okay if I don't see. The video is not what is being recorded. It's just the audio that's being recorded. The audio of these proceedings will be available on the city's website within 2 to 3 days after the conclusion of this hearing. I am a hearings officer. I work in the hearings office. My role as a hearings officer is to independently review decisions of other city bureaus to make sure those decisions comply with the code. And in this case, that means reviewing the decision to tow your vehicle, Mr. Seabrook, to make sure that decision complies with the code. My authority in these cases is limited. I'm limited to deciding whether the tow is valid, invalid, or otherwise unjustified. The code requires that I find a tow valid if two requirements are met. One, the procedural notice requirements have been satisfied, and two, the person ordering the tow followed all relevant rules and procedures. If there was a parking citation that was issued in addition to the tow, the parking citation will not be addressed here today, and instead that would need to be addressed within Multnomah County Circuit Court. I don't recall that there was a parking site. I do see, yes, there was a couple of parking citations. So I would encourage, if you have not already, I would encourage you to appeal those parking citations, because why not? You've already gone through the trouble of appealing the tow, so may as well appeal that parking citation. Appealing the parking citation is really the best chance you have of getting some sort of financial relief as it relates to this matter. And so I would encourage you to do that. Make sure you follow the instructions that tell you how to appeal. Did you receive the statement of rights in this case, Mr. Seabrook? It would have been Exhibit 5.
I believe so, yes.
Do you have any questions about what you read?
No.
You feel ready to move forward with the hearing today?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so when I scroll through this case, I use the same online case filing system that's available to the parties. And when I scroll through this case, I see that there are 16 exhibits that have been uploaded. These 16 exhibits are documents that have been uploaded by both parties, by PBOT, as well as yourself, Mr. Seabrook, and then the hearings office clerks uploads documents, just like the statement of rights, the hearing notice, Zoom participation instructions. Those are the kinds of things that the hearings office clerks uploads, and these, all of these documents, of which there are 16, I would like to make part of the record. And when I say I'd like to make them part of the record, I mean I'd like to admit these exhibits. Right now, the exhibits are just, they're just kind of sitting there, basically like sitting on a counter. They're not part of any recipe yet, but I would like to admit them into the record so that way I can rely on any evidence that's contained within those exhibits. Do you have any objection to me admitting exhibits 1 through 16 into the record, Mr. Seabrook?
No.
Okay. Ms. Knezovich, I imagine you don't have any objection, but do you have any objection to admission of 1 through 16 into the record?
I did not receive an exhibit list, but I have no objection.
Okay. In that case, I'll admit exhibits 1 through 16. The exhibits, you know, these are the same exhibits that, you know, whenever somebody uploads something, it's sitting there. Everybody gets an email saying this has been added to the case. It looks like the last couple exhibits that were uploaded were uploaded by PBOT just on the 13th. So I don't know what you normally get in advance of the hearing, Ms. Knezovich, but those exhibits are there for you to review if you'd like to. Okay, so I'll admit exhibits 1 through 16 into the record. Next, what I'd like to do is get the party sworn in so I can get some testimony. If I can get you both to raise your right hand, and I know I can't see you, Ms. Knezovich, so just let me know when your hand is raised.
It's raised.
Great. Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you provide today in this matter will be the truth and the whole truth? If that is so, say I do. Mr. Seabrook?
I do.
Ms. Knezovich?
I do.
Great. You can both put your hands down. And Mr. Seabrook, you are the moving party. You can go first. You can make an opening statement. You can just launch right into why you believe that this TOE is invalid. I did read your statement, although it looks like there was some additional things that you had provided that was on the back of the form, which I didn't see. So okay. If you want to tell me why you believe that this TOE is valid, I am all ears.
Okay. I believe the TOE is invalid for, I guess, essentially the following reason. I mean, I know that it is a public street that my car was parked on. My current property residence that I live at does not have parking provided for us, so we use street parking. My car has been there in that parking spot for a while due to the fact that it is not running currently, which is why the registration on it, or the license plate, was from Washington. I had it towed from Washington to Oregon. And I'm in the process of working on my car. I actually was just about to replace a part the following day that it was towed. And it just so happens that it was towed that particular day. It's been there for, about a month. It's been there. It's moved around from different spots within that street. But it is parked on my residence. I live at 4620 North Maryland Avenue. And it was parked at 4620 North Maryland Avenue. I don't know what would make the car considered abandoned. I was out of town when the green sticker was placed, and so I tried to act when I could, but I wasn't fast enough.
Did you try calling the officer's number on the green sticker?
No, the green sticker was torn off of my car, actually.
Who tore it off?
I don't know. I just knew that there was a green sticker placed there because my roommate had told me that. But when I got back from vacation, I was in Washington, it was torn off of my car. There's a lot of riffraff and homeless people there. I don't know, but yeah, it was torn off. And I don't have a citation either.
Okay. Right. I hear what you're saying. Not uncommon. No driveway. No parking, like garage, nothing.
I live against a cement wall.
What's that?
I live against a cement wall. It's right there on, you get off the exit, and there's just a cement highway wall to block the noise. That's right to my front door, and I'm in the basement. So there's no driveway nothing. Or nothing.
Okie doke.
It's in a dead end.
Okay. Okie doke. I see that.
My car wasn't parked illegally at all either. You know, it wasn't parked like blocking any traffic, blocking any, you know, emergency, anything. It was illegal street parking.
Okay. Ms. Knezovich, can you tell me why you towed this vehicle? Although I think I already know exactly why you towed this vehicle, but of course I need to hear you tell me why you towed this vehicle.
Would you like me to read my comments?
You can, or if you can speak without just reading directly from your your comments, that would be preferable. But if you need them to refresh your memory as to what happened and how this came about, either way, I guess.
Okay, so I can paraphrase. The city abandoned auto office received a complaint and a request for enforcement on a white Lexus with Washington plate BYX8190, located on the 4600 block of North Maryland Avenue, which is in the city of Portland, County of Multnomah, and state of Oregon. And we received that on May 14th, 2025. About 14 days later, on May 28th, I went out to the request and found a matching vehicle that matched the description given by the citizen on their complaint. I inspected the vehicle, and the vehicle was found to be in violation of the City of Portland Code for failure to display current registration. So it was cited, and a green tow warning was placed on the vehicle. And it states if the vehicle is not completely removed from a public right-of-way, it will be towed by order of the City of Portland. And it was marked as a 72-hour warning. So the vehicle was cited at that time for failure to display the registration. And the green warning was affixed. No contact was made about this vehicle to either myself or to the abandoned auto office. And those numbers not only are on the abandoned auto warning, but also available in multiple other places if the citizen wants to call us and talk about it. About 5 days after the vehicle was warned, on June 2nd, I returned to recheck the case. The vehicle was still found at the location and in violation. It was reinspected, and it was, there's a second citation, but that's changed to a warning to reserve the photos. And the vehicle was ordered towed at that time, so it was still in violation of the city code.
It was in violation for failure to display valid registration?
Yes.
Okay.
As per the citizen's submitted statement, he says, also his verbal statement, he was storing it on the public right away while it was not operational, which is also a city code violation, but which it wasn't cited for.
Okay. Is your vehicle still in storage, Mr. Seabrook?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So let me tell you what the code says about an abandoned vehicle and what constitutes an abandoned vehicle, because it is not how you interpret that word abandoned vehicle. It's not like I lost my wallet and I abandoned it. An abandoned vehicle, maybe that was not a very good example, but I think you kind of know where I'm going, but just in case, yeah, I will explain it to you. So the code defines an abandoned vehicle in 1690, specifically 1690.005. It states an abandoned vehicle is a vehicle that remains in violation for more than 24 hours and one or more of the following conditions exist. A, the vehicle does not have a lawfully affixed unexpired registration plate or fails to display current registration. B, the vehicle appears to be inoperative or disabled. I don't know if I'd say that this vehicle appears to be inoperative or disabled. I mean, it was inoperative or disabled. Or the vehicle appears to be wrecked, partially dismantled, or junked. Again, you know, those appearances are a bit more subjective and incredibly nuanced, but we do know that the vehicle did not display a lawfully affixed unexpired registration. And the sticker, which was that someone removed, even if the sticker was moved, you could still call 311 to kind of find out, like, where's my car? Or some people call the police, like, my car was stolen. either way, there are ways to figure out like what happened to your car if it was parked on the public right of way and then suddenly it's not there. And so when a vehicle is parked on the public right of way, and I totally hear that you do not have a driveway. So the sticker says that if the vehicle is not removed off the public right of way, then it can be towed within, at the very least, 72 hours. It looks like you got a little bit more than 72 hours, but because the vehicle remained parked on the public right of way and continued to remain in violation in that it did not display valid current registration, the vehicle can be towed as an abandoned vehicle. So that means I find the tow valid, and that means that you remain responsible for the towing and storage charges. I absolutely understand that this, you are in a pickle, shall we say. You have a car that's not working, and you have no place to park it other than the public right of way. You needed to register the vehicle, but you can't register the vehicle until you fix the vehicle, and you can't fix the vehicle and have it stay on the public right of way and have it be registered. So you were certainly stuck in a position. However, I think had you been able to contact parking enforcement, maybe they would have been able to work with you, give you a little bit more time to try to resolve the mechanical issues so that way the vehicle could have been registered. But without that contact, then the city has no way of knowing that you know what's going on or that you're going to do anything or about the vehicle. The sticker was gone. So perhaps to the city, it looks like, well, looks like the owner removed the sticker and is going to do something. And for whatever reason, there was contact that just didn't happen. So that's why it looks like the vehicle was towed. So what happens next is I write an order that is consistent with what I have just explained here today, that finding that the tow is validly authorized. And that order will come to you like probably within the next, shortly. It'll come to you soon, probably this week. And I would, of course, encourage you, as I've said at the outset, I would encourage you to appeal the parking citation. If you can get your car out of storage sooner rather than later, of course, that's ideal. Otherwise, the longer it stays there, then the fees just kind of accumulate, and then you run the risk of your vehicle being auctioned for not being picked up. Okay. Do you have any questions about anything I've said, Mr. Seabrook?
I mean, I guess I just don't see if what a phone call would have done to prevent my car being towed. I mean, I'm out of town dealing with a family illness. I'm stuck in a hospital. I mean, I call them and I tell them that, hey, my car is still good. I mean, I just don't understand what the phone call would have done for me. I don't get it.
Well, I can give you let me tell you what the phone call. Well, I'm going to let Ms. Knezovic tell you. Ms. Knezovic, can you tell Mr. Seabrook what would a phone call have done for him? Had he called, let's say he called 311 because the green sticker was gone. Let's say he calls 311. Why? What's the benefit of calling about
the
this?
The benefit of calling 311 would have told him the number for the City of Portland Abandoned Auto. And they would have referred him to me and given him my phone number. And we could have discussed the matter and possibly given him more time to return to town or fix the vehicle or move it off the street at a repair shop or something. And the amount of time would depend on our discussion.
I guess my focus when I got back from vacation was to try and get my vacation, I guess, but I mean, was to try and get my car moved. That was my focus. I didn't have a sticker to rely on when I had got back. So to be quite honest with you, I didn't really know who I was supposed to call. I didn't really know what had happened to my car. So it's like, you say I should recall to the people that are on a sticker. I don't have a sticker. I had a loss there.
But you had somebody who contacted you and told you had received a sticker on your vehicle.
Yeah, that was my roommate, but he didn't give me the specifics of the sticker itself. He just said I received a sticker.
didn't take a photo or didn't read it to me. I mean, that was it. Like, you know, shame on him.
Oh, Mr. Seabrook, I hear what you're saying. Like, your roommate sees a sticker and says to you, there's a sticker on your car, and your roommate wasn't specific about anything about the sticker. However, you know, there's really only a couple people that are going to put a sticker on your car when you live in the city. You know, if you park on the public right of way, the city owns the public right of way. So if you get a sticker, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know what other kind of sticker. I don't know what your roommate said, but, you know, calling the city, even if you thought when the car is, after it's towed, it's too late at that point. But,
if somebody's... I didn't know what kind of sticker it was. You know what I mean? It's the first car I've ever owned. I've never got a sticker before.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen
Officer Knezovich, do you have any thoughts about that scenario where a sticker is placed on the vehicle and then removed by a third party? How would he have known to call PBOT, Officer Knezovich?
Once we put the sticker on and take our photographs, we do not return to the vehicle and check on it until it's time for a recheck.
Mm-hmm.
We leave it up to the citizen to know where their car is. The city code states they should be checking on it every 24 hours in case something like a barricade or a no parking sign goes up where they're parked. So it would be in violation. So it's kind of up to the owner to be responsible for their vehicle.
How is that irresponsible?
Because the code says, Mr. Seabrook, the code requires you to check on your vehicle every 24 hours. Because the parking situation, if you park on the street, can change within that time frame. So if you were to check on your vehicle every 24 hours, even if you were not out of town, you have a roommate perhaps that could check on your vehicle, could move your vehicle, whatever. But it's kind of incumbent upon the appellant, upon the vehicle owner, to do their due diligence and make sure that the parking situation hasn't changed. You, Mr. Seabrook, you're muted.
Okay, so a person is supposed to just be present to check on their vehicle every 24 hours. So we are required, we're bound to our vehicle or our domicile because of this guideline that I don't understand how that's even reasonable. That's crazy to think that you need the person to check every 24 hours on their car. Do you do that? I mean, does PBOT employees do that? I mean, that's crazy.
So, Mr. Seabrook, I understand what you're saying, and I totally understand your frustration. And my job is not to explain. Okay, Mr. Seabrook left. So I guess I don't need to explain the policy behind it, and I can't explain the policy. But if Mr. Seabrook were to listen to this audio subsequent to this hearing, he could take the issue up, contact council, bring the issue up with council, tell his area counselor, like, hey, I disagree with this. This is BS. What about all these people that don't have a driveway? We have to park on the street. That's not really something I can address, but I hear this. He's not the first person to complain about this, and I imagine he won't be the last. But it's not, that is something that is really beyond my, that's beyond my ability, beyond my, my role. So, having found that, as I said previously, having found that the tow is valid, I will write an order that analyzes the law with the facts. That order will be sent to the parties when it is completed, and it will be sent via email, the same way you received notice of this hearing. And if there is nothing additional, then I'm going to conclude this hearing. I thank you, Ms. Knezovich, for being here. I thank Mr. Seabrook for being here for as long as he was here until he departed. Left the hearing, it sounds like he departed, like that sounds more dire, but I just meant that he left the hearing. So with that, I'm going to go off the record. Thank you so much.